Hi, welcome back to the Mandarin Blueprint Podcast, episode 167 today. How you doing? I'm doing good, thanks for asking. I'm going to jump in straight away today to a very long couple of emails from Gavia, one of our long-time, I believe lifetime members as well. I think you guys are really going to find this useful. That's why I put it in as the very first thing I want to talk to you about, because she was recently going through something that I think every Chinese learner, maybe even every language learner, goes through at some point. She was reaching a plateau, I guess, of some kind. A lot of people refer to this particular stage in language learning as the wasteland of the intermediate. And it starts off pretty negative, right? It starts off, she's having some trouble. She's going through this phase and sent me a very long email about what's on her mind. And I sent her a very long video in response, just sort of giving her some advice. And I thought I would give you guys the same advice. Like I said, because I think a lot of people face this issue. And then she sent me another email, which is very uplifting. So without further ado, let's just jump into it. So Gavia says, hi, Luke and Phil. I guess I'm getting to that intermediate plateau here. I don't even know what to ask you. Let's see if I can clear my thoughts, though, through writing how I feel. I'm sorry this is long again. Please bear with me as I try to clear my mind. I've been studying Chinese for almost 2.5 years, and it started accidentally. I was only going to learn a few phrases, just enough to make native speakers smile when I would travel to Beijing. I still haven't because of COVID. And then I just fell in love with the language and flirted around with it for a year. Lots of scritter, about 1,400 characters, lots of free and paid videos online, read all Mandarin Companion books, but I was just learning about the language, not studying systematically. After a year of doing this daily, I thought that I really couldn't justify the time I was spending on it. It didn't make sense. I don't need Chinese for anything in my life, but I couldn't stop either. I liked it too much. Someone in a podcast somewhere said they considered learning a language to be like getting married. You make a commitment to spend some time daily for the rest of your life, doing something you care about, learning to know the language a bit better every day. I like that. I believe that's, I saw that from Steve's blog on The Linguist, one of my favorite language learning blogs from Steve Kaufman. I believe it's called something like that, like falling in love with a language or something like that. You should go check it out if you can find it. I like that, and I realized that I had just been fooling around with this language for too long. It was time to quit or get serious. Would I marry this language or not? And I did. And as soon as I said I do to Chinese and decided to learn, I was lucky to find Mandarin Blueprint. I started all over from the beginning, this time with a clear goal in mind. I want to be able to speak, write, read, and listen to Chinese and be as comfortable as possible doing it. That's my definition of fluency. And I agree, that's a very good definition of fluency. Are you comfortable doing all manner of things in the language? Enjoying communicating in a language on a level that is reasonably comfortable for me and whoever I am communicating with. MB is my system, my guide. The course keeps me on track, and I always come back to it when I frequently run through all kinds of rabbit holes, like trying to listen and watch too difficult material, get lost in conversations on HelloTalk, or end up adding too many not-so-frequent characters on my scritter list that I keep on reviewing on the side. Chinese is my sixth language, and I tend to have probably too many ideas of my own as to what I want to do to learn a language. Well, that's how innovations happen, by the way. That's how Mandarin Blueprint happened. I've never been I've never been a classroom learner, although I'm not one of those people to just pick up a language either. I do need to study and I like to study. I just need to do it in my own way. I am so happy I've got your course to keep me on track. Above all, MB has taught me how to use what I had learned before. And of course, I have many new characters and words as well. I can't even imagine studying Chinese without you guys. Well, that's very nice. Now what? Well, I guess you could say that my honeymoon with Chinese is over. I think that is in fact mostly a good thing. I had this serious motivation that I could not explain, but it was a bit too much. It actually feels very healthy now to notice that I start to pay more attention to things like eating and sleeping rather than only studying Chinese in my free time. My study time is very limited. I work 60 to 70 hours per week and care for an elderly dementia patient at home at night and on weekends. There are times when learning Chinese actually should not be my first priority. That is just normal and good. Yes, and by the way, whenever you try and learn any new habit, learn new skill, which requires a new habit, there's always a honeymoon period. And the habit needs to be there for you to keep doing it when the motivation inevitably subsides. I'm still totally committed. Of course, it doesn't subside, it ebbs and flows. Let's put it that way. It comes and it goes. So when it does go, inevitably, for that first time, you need to have the habit in place to keep going. I'm still totally committed and I keep studying daily with the clear objective of actually learning the language. I don't even think about giving up, but somehow I have lost the spark and joy of learning lately. Speaking feels daunting. I have spoken a bit, but it's been a long time, and every day that goes by without speaking makes it feel harder. I try to think that I will go back to dreading pronunciation. Maybe it will be easier to speak again, but I don't seem to get started with that either. Reading. I've read all the books I have too many times, but somehow feel like I don't want to buy new ones until I've learned some more characters, quote unquote. In fact, I would love to get to those 3,000 as soon as possible to read stuff that is actually interesting. Real books, quote unquote. But I'm only on level 47, so there's still quite a long way to go. There's 88 levels. Or there will be very, very soon. Besides, I may be a bit screen addicted. I probably would need some good old-fashioned reading on paper in any language to get back into that. To get back to that habit. Writing. I have lost touch with the people I wrote with, although I don't think it will be too hard to reconnect. Listening. The most frustrating part of trying to speak is not being able to have a conversation because I don't understand what people say to me. That's what got me tired of trying, and I retreated to just studying more characters. In fact, I have watched a lot of series lately, way above my level, but I think my listening has actually improved. I'm just feeling too gloomy to notice that now. My hands and moving method has also improved. It has helped that there are more characters now than there are actually new to me. And I think in the beginning, I was relying too much on rote memorization habits I had from that first year of learning when I still hadn't found MB. I enjoy making my movies. That's how we learn characters. We make mental movie scenes. It's like memory palace technique. It works incredibly, incredibly well. So making my movies, but reviewing is starting to feel like doing household chores. I'm probably very close to the point where I should start to take it easier on sentences, but I still don't feel ready to do that either. Every so often, I decide that I will just try to learn the 3,000 characters as soon as possible, but if I start doing the math, looking at the time I have for studying every day, it's going to be a while before I get there. I think I'll take it easier for a while and go back to the stuff that has been most fun, using my skills, no matter how low level still, to communicate with Chinese people online. But somehow that feels daunting now too. It's frustrating that I don't have the time to do everything I would like to do. To have to choose between, do I learn a few new characters today, or should I go to use and practice what I already know? It feels frustrating that I don't seem to be able to maintain my language buddy relationships. Not being able to means that I have no time. And no, I'm not making excuses. I still spend more time on Chinese than what is even healthy for a person working so much. I love learning. It really is the best part of my day. But sleep and food are necessary as well. And I can't do everything every day or even every week. Read, write, speak, listen, learn characters, practice pronunciation. I do some of everything every week, even every day, except for speaking and writing lately. But just not enough to feel that I am advancing. Some people recommend all kinds of challenges to concentrate on a certain aspect of learning, like reading, speaking for a month, taking a sprint of one aspect of language learning, and enjoy your improvement. I have tried it, but it feels too artificial. I love that. That's a great point. After a while, I want to do something else, and just doing what I feel like doing has worked relatively well so far. As long as I've made sure that I also make progress with MB every day, even if it's just a little bit. Everything else is just practice, a bonus. The real world, where I can test and use what I learn in the course, just that the real world is only online and therefore quite artificial as well. My life doesn't include Chinese language or Chinese people naturally. I need to go create that immersion environment. But it needs to be more than just some series on YouTube. That is too passive. I try to give myself some credit. In fact, it is incredible how much you can do with just about 1,000 well-learned characters and maybe another 500 rather passively learned characters. Yeah, that makes up well over 80% of the language by coverage. And I should remember that not so long ago, I couldn't understand anything. Now I can actually watch a series with just Chinese subtitles and understand what's going on. Not everything, but if something is interesting, I keep watching and try to read, even if the English subtitles aren't there. this is Chinese. Shouldn't I feel just completely amazed that I can do that? I guess the goal of those 3,000 characters just feels somehow too heavy now. The 150 plus daily reviews feel like too much. I finished my latest favorite series and I don't know what to begin to watch now. It feels hard to write back to people I haven't been in touch with for weeks. Speaking, horrible. Can't pronounce those TTCs, not to mention try to make Juche somehow different. Sometimes I think maybe I should take a vacation, just quit learning characters for a few weeks, only review, and meanwhile just try to go out again, see what I can do with what I've just learned, and just have fun. Not that the course isn't fun, it is, but I'm only at 1,000 characters and maybe too focused on those 3,000, thinking too much about just wanting to get there and forgetting how much I already have here. Now we're starting to get to the point here. Starting to get to the crux of the matter. I'm probably just a classic case of the intermediate plateau. There's not even a clear question here. I just really don't know what to do or what to focus on next. I have a million ideas on how to learn and practice. Always had, but I have so little time, and now I feel like I'm lost on how to focus and how to get over this feeling that I just can't do it all. Luckily, that mysterious motivation to keep going is still there, even if the world looks like I might never go back to Beijing after all. I really don't know why I'm doing this, but I guess if I just keep on learning, I will find out one day why I needed to do it. Thank you for listening or reading. Any words of wisdom for me at this point, Gavia? So I'm sure as I was reading that, and as you were listening to this, many of you had lots of ideas there. And I'm sure many of you also had, there were lots of thoughts there. I'm sure many of you had some of those at one point, if not right now. Okay. So I'll tell you, I'll give you a much shorter version of what I replied to Gavia with. So you'll notice that, well, if you do listen to this podcast, you might remember that she actually sent us another email quite a while ago now, at least a couple of months ago. And it was about speaking. She said, I just can't speak. And it's that frustration. I just cannot seem to hold a conversation. I've been putting in all this time and effort and blah, blah. And I just asked her, I was like, if you really were strict with yourself, how much time have you put into speaking just Chinese? Now, I don't mean like 1 hour of an italki lesson. That's not 1 hour of speaking. That's probably around 20 minutes of speaking, right? So if you were going to be serious, like really harsh, how would you? And I believe she said, I can't remember if she said 1 hour or 6 hours, but either way, not enough, right? And then that was it. And I was like, you know, just keep speaking and stuff. But then I realized that I missed out a very key, important piece of information, which was a very key factor that's missing in Gavia's study routine. And some of you might have already spotted it. I think it's, basically, I said to her, first off, you need to immerse yourself in the language every single day for at least an hour, you know, and it sounds like she's doing that every now and then, but it has to be comprehensible input that you can understand, or at least if you focus, you can understand, and you need to do that every single day, and you need to try and put like 1,000 hours into that. Once you put like 1,000 hours into that, you'll naturally, or at least even if it's just a couple of hundred, you'll notice, like after a few months at 2 hours a day, 1 hour a day, a couple of months even, you'll start to notice a difference in how you can produce the language. It's how language is learned, or acquired rather. So the first thing I said was actually, stop reviewing sentences right now. Okay, stop with Anki sentences at your level. So she's at about 1,400, 1,500 less characters in the course, level 47. She's well into the intermediate. She's into the intermediate course now. So she can just chill out on the sentences and focus on real content. And what that will do, as well as actually sparking that language acquisition, right? Because that's how you do it. You listen and you read, mainly listening if you want to sound more like a native. But reading is also obviously incredibly good for developing vocabulary and grammar. But if you want to start speaking more, sounding like a native speaker, listening is highly recommended because it's just easier to do. It's way more convenient. You can just stick it in your ears or stick it in the background whilst you're doing stuff. And just do that as much as you possibly can. If you remember the last podcast, I said that I was on this new immersion kick. I'm still doing it. 2 hours a day minimum. And already noticed huge difference in just 1 month. This is someone at my level where I'm an advanced speaker anyway, an advanced learner. And I've already noticed a huge bump once I've sort of got back on the wagon, back on the horse or whatever they say. Just after a month at 2 hours every single day, I'd say at least half of the days have been way more than 2 hours as well. Because like 2 hours is my minimum. Okay, I tick off my habit immersion, like my habit building app. And I do that. And then I end up probably listening to another hour or two, like just in little gaps during the day. And then before bed, instead of reading now, comics are really fun and I love reading, but I'm focused on watching. And I found, just as an aside, okay, I'm going to get off on my tangent again, but I found Death Note in Mandarin on Netflix. Okay, you can find it elsewhere. I can't remember the names of the websites now, but if you go to Netflix, put your VPN onto Taiwan and you can find Death Note, one of the best Japanese animes ever created, in very standard Mandarin. It's got a slight Taiwanese twang, but like very standard. And I was so happy. And I was like, oh, if I just switch my VPN to Chinese, I get all these Japanese anime shows in Chinese. No, unfortunately, it's like just that and Avatar. It's not Japanese, but you know what I mean? Like good sort of anime. So anyway, I found that and I've just been smashing that before bed. It's like at least one episode. So anyway, 2-3 hours a day and it's a huge difference. So I recommended immediately that Gavia drop the sentences. Just focus on continually building those characters, because that is the backbone of everything, is how many characters you know. And then just start immersing. The more characters you have, the more you can consume from like TV shows with subtitles and comics and more and children's books and more basic reading and listening materials and watching material. And then you can graduate to TV without subtitles later once that becomes easier. So yeah, immersion is like Mandarin Blueprint is the tool building that gives you the ability to immerse. And we do provide tons of immersion material in the course as well that's perfectly suited to your level. But in order to get that spark, that real spark, it's a good idea to dip your toe into native material as soon as you can and sort of do that alongside our course. And then eventually you'll finish our course. Eventually, it's huge. you'll get there, you know, whether that's 6 months at 4 hours a day, which is probably what you'd need. Say 2 years at 1 hour a day or whatever it takes. Once you're done, you know all the 3,000 characters. There's actually a fast track that I'm developing now that we're sort of devising like a fast track version of the Mandarin Blueprint method where it wouldn't take nearly as long. And it's mainly based around learning the characters and sort of trimming the fat, like the extra sort of the extra bits, that all these thousands of sentences that people love, but they're not 100% necessary. If you just get the characters and the words, you have enough to consume native content. So anyway, that's what I told her. She's like, just focus on the characters, start consuming native content as much as you can, that you can understand, by the way. Like, so it's not going to be as effective for you if you just try and, like, there's a couple of examples that Gavia gave here where she's like, oh, I'm listening to this thing. I can't really understand it very much, but it's cool. And that's fine. I like that idea every now and then for a little bit, just to give yourself a taste of what you could understand. And it's nice to have, oh, this is a really high level piece of content, but I understood this. Cool. But it's much better if you can understand the whole thing. I also sent her a recommendation to get a book by James Clear called Atomic Habits. And the message that I got from her email, one of the messages that I got was she still sees herself as a outsider. She still sees herself as someone, she says she's married to Chinese, but what the messaging, that the feeling that I got from her is just that she sees herself as still as a dabbler. She sees herself as a beginner. But one of the key things about that James Clear mentions in that book, the Atomic Habits book, is real behavioral change. This blew my mind, by the way. Real behavioral change As in stuff that you do habitually that, you know, comes from habits. It comes from much deeper than just changing your behavior. It comes from your identity, who you are. So, for example, you want to start learning Chinese. It's a great idea to make an announcement of some kind, like an affirmation or whatever, and just say, I am not just someone learning Chinese. I'm not learning Chinese. I am a Chinese learner. And you can even go further with that. You can say, I am a Chinese fanatic. I am a Chinese enthusiast, right? I am obsessed with China. I am someone who is obsessed with Chinese. And there's all sorts of things you can do. Like further than that, you could say, I am so-and-so, such a person. I'm a hardworking person. I'm a disciplined person. You make these kinds of announcements, as it were. And then every time you show up to listen to Chinese or read Chinese or watch Chinese or practice speaking Chinese, you are sort of casting a vote for that new identity. And you don't have to win an election, you don't need 100% of the votes. You just need a majority, right? So you can mess up sometimes. But as long as you show up every day and you do something, you're casting a vote. So I am a Chinese enthusiast. And then eventually, and of course you have like rewards and stuff. Like, oh, I listened to 100 hours of Chinese. That's a milestone. I'll give myself a treat. I'll binge watch an English TV show or something. I don't know. Or a favorite Chinese TV show. A reward that rewards your habit is a much better idea. But the point is, eventually, you don't need this this reward anymore. You do learn Chinese. You listen to Chinese. You watch Chinese every day because that's your identity. That's who you are. And it feels good to be who you are. But at first, you're not that, you know, you're not that person yet, but you're becoming that person. So you need the rewards to get you there. But once you're there, it's like ingrained. It's part of your identity. So I found that very mind-blowing. And I said that to Gabby as well. I said, start identifying yourself as an enthusiast of Chinese, as an obsessed with Chinese, at least as a Chinese learner, you know, and what you're doing is, and that will keep you going when the motivation subsides. So yeah, that was my main bit of advice, and immerse yourself. And that's your focus. Learn characters, identify who you want to be, who you are, right? Learn characters and immerse yourself every single day in content you enjoy. Mainly audio, but reading and audio is great. And of course, reading is fine too. But audio is the key, because that's going to, in someone in her situation, because she has this imbalance, she cannot produce the language. It's because she hasn't consumed it enough. It's as simple as that. Okay. And I blame myself and Phil, of course, for not making this clear enough. Because we do say all of this throughout our curriculum, but our curriculum is huge, and we mainly focused on building it in a way that does the tool building, the active study part, which is essential to be able to immerse yourself, but we don't really push people towards the immersion side of things enough. And that's got something we're going to be doing this year or 2022. That's going to be a big project of ours, is pushing the course towards that direction. Because that is the key. That is the key. Building the habit to show up every day and immersing yourself. And the more characters you learn, like Gabby did refer to here, the more interesting stuff you'll be able to consume that is more attuned to your personal tastes. And you're just going to be obsessed with listening. I'll tell you what, I've been listening to Gushi FM, right? This is a native podcast. And in the next email, it's a much shorter email, Gabby will reference this because I recommended it to her as well. I just offhand mentioned it. And it is like, it is the number one podcast in China right now. If you go to Himalaya, like the app, or any other, there's like several main apps. I use Himalaya. It's a fantastic app. What top 10 podcasts in the whole country right now, or on this app anyway. And Gusha FM was number one. It's 9.6 out of 10. Took so many different votes. I was like, okay, I'll just check this out. Apparently it's like a Chinese version of This American Life, which is also a very popular podcast that I've never listened to, but it's like basically Chinese people of all different walks of life come on, they talk about their stories. And it's like 25 minutes each episode, and it's completely different. Sometimes it's like horrific, where actually I'm at the gym and I'm listening to it and I feel sick. I have to skip it because it's about some, I don't know, about a girl that in an earthquake who had to get her leg amputated, and it was a very, let's say, detailed story. And then sometimes it is just hilarious. There's a guy who owned, who set up the first sex shop in China. Just brilliant, like hilarious. Sometimes like it moved me to absolute to tears, right? I'm picture this. I get up early, I go to the gym, and I listen for like an hour at least whilst I'm at the gym. And it was a story about, there's several ones actually. There's a story about a guy who, really strong young man who fell and broke his neck, quadriplegic. And I just picture me walking home at 5:30 in the morning, and like tears running down my face, like, because I'm listening to this terribly sad story. This is the kind of stage that you get to if you build up those characters and if you put in immersion hours, like, you know, a few hundred, even not even that much. Start with lower level stuff and listen to what you can understand. And after not such a long amount of time that you might think, not like months and months of doing this, like, you know, if you do it for a couple of hours a day, you'll be surprised how quick you can level up, you know. Ideally, like, I wish I was in a situation, I was going to go back to when I was 18 and I had all this free time and I could just listen for 6-8 hours a day. That'd be amazing. But if you can do that, do it, please. But most people can't, right? But regardless, you'd be surprised how quickly you can get to this level where you're listening to stuff that is moving you and making you laugh. And that's when you don't need Anki or you don't need flashcards really that much anymore to learn words and phrases, because they are attached to these emotional moments. Okay, so anyway, I sent her all this advice and this book and all this, and to get into immersion. And she sent me this back a few days later. She said, a quick update on how I'm doing. No need to answer, just wanted to let you know. My Chinese learning depression and sudden lack of motivation turned out to be due to a flu or something. I was getting sick. Everything feels very difficult now, but I know it'll get better when I get better. Just a bit of a cold. I absolutely love Atomic Habits, thank you. You saying you are an intermediate learner really stuck. I've decided that it is definitely time to change my identity from a beginner mentality to an intermediate, and an intermediate learner can and should do something different. This somehow makes all studying feel fresh and new, a journey to explore and to see how to do this at this next stage. This just reminds me, another quick one of, listen to this, some video about business, like growing business. And basically the guy said, this guy owns a portfolio business to do 100 million a year. And he says, the skills and things you need to do or be able to do to get from, you know, 0 to 1 million, as in revenue per year, are very different from what you need to get from 1 to 10 million and 10 to 30 million and 30 to 100 million. They're all completely different skill sets. And I think that's true as well with Chinese. It's like to get from zero to, you know, past beginner stage, you need a certain focus. To get from beginner to immediate, you need another different focus. To get from intermediate to advanced, a different focus. And then advanced and beyond, like to maybe approaching native level, you need a different approach. Okay, so for example, just one big difference between the beginning stage and the later stage is that beginning stage, you're tool building, right? You're focusing on building the tools, the characters, you know, pronunciation, things like that. Anyway, just thought that's important to note as well. Still not ready to give up sentences. I don't trust my immersion enough yet, but I have switched my sentence reviewing to listening practice. So what you can do actually is somewhat like a step in the middle where you immerse yourself, but you use like Language Reactor with Netflix. It's a Chrome extension. It used to be called Language Learning with Netflix. And there's some amazing stuff you can do with that. Absolutely amazing. So I hope these guys make a lot of money because they're really creating a lot of value for people. You can have a TV show on. You can program it to pause after every line, so you can see the subtitles and make sure you can read the whole thing. And you can just basically read a TV show like that, just like going through. each one. Just like, yeah, I'm ready. Okay, yeah, I'm ready. And just and you can make us, and you can just click one button and make a flashcard out of an entire sentence, and you can import that into Anki or whatever flashcard software. Genius. So that's an example of basically making your own sentences from real content. And then you can, that's called sentence mining, right? You can save those and you can create closed deletes or just put them as they are. And with this software, you can actually export the screenshot as well at the same time and the piece of audio. It's robotic, sort of automated audio, but it's still audio nonetheless, into your flashcards as well, saving a lot of time. So love that, love that, love that. And there's all sorts of other little tricks like that that you can use. YouTube and Google are great for that. I only listen to the sentences. It feels different and less stale, and has made my review time almost half the length. So I also hit very easy much more now. I'm not trying to figure out what goes in the close anymore, just listening. By the way, not sure if you guys know this yet, but we've decided to get rid of close deletes completely. Because it takes too much time. We were trying to streamline things for people, and it's been that we're going to make the cards more about immersion, more about comprehension. That's a step that we're moving, like, again, just to make it easier for you guys to reach your goal, make it faster, make it less, you know, remove the barriers to where you want to be, your dream outcome, which is speaking awesome Chinese. My chosen immersion for the time being is Chairman's Bow. I read and listen to those stories every day now, and I watch my series without English text. No, I don't get it all, but I get lots of fun practice, and the visual context keeps it comprehensible enough. I think I should still take the ratio of time between immersion reviews more towards immersion. Yes, little by little, it feels encouraging to notice that HSK 1 to 3, sometimes even HSK 4 on the Chairman's Bow feels so easy to read. Someday HSK 5 and 6 will feel just as clear. Yeah, and then someday native novels will feel just as clear. It just takes time and exposure. I just can't do comics or young adult things. I know I should. That's where my level is. Sometimes not even there yet, but it's just not interesting enough. Every now and then, I listen to a Gusha FM podcast, the one I said earlier. That's pretty much native level. I understand many words, occasionally some sentences. I can only only more or less figure out what they were talking about, maybe. But there is a huge cool factor in understanding even that much, because the pace and level of the speech are native. They seem to be interesting, authentic stories that mean a lot to the people who are telling their story. I believe there is some sort of magic in that meaning, making it more interesting and compelling. I listened to the same story twice or three times, little by little, not all in one go, and only when I can really focus. And it's amazing to see how things start to take shape, little by little. But I'm still far from understanding the story, really, even the third time around. I still enjoy it, so I guess as long as it's interesting, why not keep listening? That's an important point to mention here as well. It's important to mention that your enjoyment of the content is actually more important than anything. So even if you understand half of it, like 50%, which would be, you know, if you're not incredibly interested, that's going to be very difficult, right? But if you are engaged with the content, follow what you're interested in, and the fun factor, that's the most important thing. It helps to have the experience of learning other languages. I remember how impossible Spanish sounded to me many years ago, but it didn't take that long, and it feels so clear and easy now, no matter what's the age of the speaker or their accent. I think that experience helps me to tolerate ambiguity. That's a phrase from the Refold guys, refold.la. Tolerate ambiguity and not understanding everything. I like to just listen and focus on, let's see what I can understand, and just let the rest of it be. If I just notice what I do understand, the rest of the puzzle will fall into its place sooner or later. I know that, but I know this is way above my level, so I try not to overdo it and keep easier things in the mix as well. Very good idea. In fact, I would make that like 5-10% of your immersion. Okay, if you really, really want that, say you have an hour a day, okay, make that like 6 to 10 minutes at most, right? And everything else is stuff at your level. Just because you just get more bang for your buck that way, in my opinion. I'm thinking of, I'm getting to a point where Link might be useful for reading. I took a look at some time even before I found MB, but my level was not high enough at the time to find it interesting. Still taking a break from trying to write or speak. Hello Talk is there. Well, that's also what I told her as well. I said, don't bother with speaking practice right now. You need to focus on acquiring the language. Hello Talk is where I want to go back. Not now. Still slowly reading through Refold. Interesting. Oh, yeah, I also recommend a Refold to her. Interesting and very much matches my previous language learning experience. Very much looking forward to the MBA immersion course. And also Phil's favorite teacher teaching us about characters in Chinese. That sounds like the best kind of immersion. Interesting and fun. Thank you for taking the time to give me that pep talk. Just wanted to let you know that your advice is taking my learning to that next level. Awesome. Isn't that so amazing? This is my favorite thing. This is my favorite thing. Don't worry. I also like enjoy nerding out on, this is how you use this word and stuff like that. That's cool. But this is my favorite thing. This is the kind of stuff where I'm like, you know, we're really helping people here, you know. And this is so useful for me and Phil. So useful because it gives us, getting this kind of feedback and these kinds of questions gives us so many cool ideas about new products we can make, right? Because Mandarin Blueprint method is just the backbone. It's just the beginning. Right? There's so many courses we could create, and we've already got like 5 ideas in the pipeline. An immersion course being one of them, of course. And this is just so useful. So thank you very much, Gavia, and I'm glad that I helped. And I hope that this also helped anyone else listening to this that feels that same, it was a rather negative feeling, isn't it? Of being, you feel like you're stuck or you're not moving anywhere when you're learning Chinese. So awesome. Well done. All right, let's move on to the next message here. It's also a rather positive one. It's from Emma. She says, guys, I cannot believe I can read, albeit extremely basic. I have tried so many times before, but this course trumps all of that. I started this course from pronunciation only 5 weeks ago, and it feels incredible to be able to read without pinyin. I've texted my dad a few times just in Chinese, and he does make fun that I'm good for a 4-year-old, lol. But he is also so impressed at the amount I've learned in such a short space of time. I'm so eager to learn more, and the more I read, the easier it becomes to remember the characters, even top-down ones. I read some free articles on dual Chinese and equally just amazed at how far I've come already. Thanks for such a fantastic course. Well, thank you, Emma. And again, I always kind of say this when I hear these kinds of comments, but like, you've got so much more success ahead of you. It's going to be so awesome. This is like the first kind of big success. Like, yay, I can read, but this is just the beginning. You wait till you start, you know, consuming things that make you cry at 5 a.m. on the way home from the gym. Next is Brian. He says, guys, I have lived in Hong Kong for 12 years, have a Shanghai Chinese wife, and now live in Australia. I can speak reasonable basic Chinese, but I'm embarrassed beyond belief that I am nowhere near fluent. My wife thought there was no need to read Hanzi. Boy, was she wrong. Do not tell her that. And even at this early phase, I feel much more empowered than I've ever felt before. That's awesome. Empowerment. Yeah, because you do kind of feel helpless, don't you? When you're putting all this time and effort and you're just not getting anywhere. And you're right. Yes, reading is absolutely vital, especially in the earlier stages. Because it's just such a faster way to develop both vocabulary than, say, listening is. Listening is the slow burn, but the listening is something that you want to also do, like immerse yourself in both, please, because while the reading will improve your vocabulary and your grammar sort of faster, listening will make you sound more like a native and make you able to produce things more fluently, okay? So that's, when it comes to reading, it's like, you can have too much reading, you know, like if you don't, as opposed to like not enough listening. But when it comes to listening, it's like you really can't have too much listening and not enough reading. Do you know what I mean? You're not going to damage yourself by not having enough, reading. All right. Reading is just amazing for speed of vocabulary, but listening always is never a downside to too much listening. So check that out. Well done, Brian. Mine, I believe it's how you pronounce it. Just on problem initials, I've always had confusion with the R sound. With this video, I finally get it. It's the tongue position that makes it or breaks it. And yeah, it's a big one, a very big one. So the R sound, so like R-I, people often pronounce that wrong, or like they'll pronounce it like R-E, so they'll pronounce R. It should be R. But actually they'll say like, they want to do something with their mouth, you know, because it's just natural. But Just put your tongue up a bit more than you'd be used to and keep it there. That's R-I. Or just R as well. You know, so like R-U, for example, is R-U. So still, it's R-I plus the U, really. So just imagine you've got the R-I there. The I is always there, basically. R by itself and R-I are the same sound. R. And here's another little thing that might blow your mind. might blow your mind. So, R, right, is basically, so if you, when you have like Z-H-I, so J, or C-H-I, Ch, or S-H-I, Sh, right, they are basically just R, but with a J, J or a Ch, or a Sh in front of it. So, R is R-I, but Z-H-I would be J, R, J, all right, or C-H-I would be Ch, R, just those two sounds together, Ch, R, which would be Ch, and S-H-I is Sh, R, or Sh, okay? And R is just the easiest one, actually. People treat it as if it's the hardest sound in the language, but it's actually the easiest one out of all of those, because you don't have to add anything in the beginning. You don't have to add a Ch, or a J, or a Sh. You just go, R. you literally don't move anything. You don't move your throat. You don't move your lips. You just keep your tongue up there. R. That's it. All right. So it's all about the tongue position. Yusuf asks a question. He says, I have a problem. I'm studying Chinese in Faculty of Language and I have a lot of Hanzi to learn, I assume he means. My question is, number one, how many Hanzi can I memorize per day? Well, people on the course, more than one person, like several people who are really like Renjen, really serious about learning, have learned like 100 characters an hour. Certainly 100 a day is possible. Some people have done 100, like maybe 100 hours too much. I think a couple of people have achieved that. Definitely 60 now, like one a minute is definitely doable. So I'd say 100 is probably doable. With that, once you obviously you need to get hang of the method and things like that, and of course you have to deal with the flashcards after that. Yeah, you can't just like just make it, you know, you have to still review the flashcards, but yeah, at least 100 a day, no problem. Shantae on Diorin, what's the difference between Diorin and Diolian? Are they interchangeable? The answer is yes. So Diorin and Diolian both mean to lose face, but I'll tell you what, Diorin, like literally lose person, right, is more common. Okay. So it just is. I don't know. But both of them are correct. Diolian. But Diolian is definitely more common in everyday speech. I just, based on my experience, I just hear it all the time. And I very rarely hear Diolian relatively. I hear it relatively less. And the last one here is John Matthews. You did it. This is the final lesson for pronunciation mastery. I thought I'd leave you guys on this last note. This is the final comment of the day. It just says, finally have finished. Must admit, I waned for about a month, but ever so glad to be back and look forward to the next part. A big up. Well done, John, for finishing that. And you, again, you have so many more wins ahead of you. If you're just finishing pronunciation mastery, this is just scratching the surface of what you're able to achieve with the Mandarin Blueprint method. Speaking of which, I haven't really mentioned it much during this particular podcast because I was getting so into these emails and these comments, which are awesome. Thank you very much. But yeah, we have a course called the Mandarin Blueprint Method. And it is the single best resource for acquiring Chinese in existence. And so if you actually want to read Chinese novels, listen to Chinese podcasts and be moved by them, watch Chinese TV shows and understand them, just like you would, say, an English TV show. If you want to be able to have smooth conversations in Chinese and live your life comfortably, fluently, in Mandarin Chinese, then sign up for a 14-day free trial and check it out. If you're serious about becoming really good about the language, not if you're a dabbler. If you're a dabbler, Mandarin Blueprint is not for you. Buy a phrase book, go get Duolingo or something like that. But if you're serious, if you want to get to a reasonably high level or a very high level one day, then there's nothing better. So go check it out. I will be back in a month. That's how often we're doing these podcasts these days. But Phil will be back in a couple of weeks with his podcast. And I had a great time with all this today. It was great reading all these comments. Please keep them coming. You know, if you have, send us an email as long as, and if you're happy to share it on the podcast, do let us know, and we would love to address more of these sorts of things. Absolutely, my favorite thing to do. So, see you in a month. Bye bye.